know, there are stories going on around Ferguson that you can get some real humor out of, and you don't have to go for that that cheap racial humor. How about this one? No justice, no peace. There is a Ferguson protest leader, not a community person, a protest leader who's gone with the slogan "No justice, no peace." Hashtag Ferguson. Well, he went to something that he was helping to promote called "F the Police" rally. So nothing better than saying "F the police," rallying the people in Ferguson. Interestingly enough, he had his car stolen while he was at the rally. Oh, come on! You got there's humor. There's humor everywhere.
That is great.
I love that. Welcome back to the Dan Kofal Show. Thanks for joining us. Our phone number is 877-326-3255. And you can listen by phone if you'd like, 716-748-0729. Podcast out at the website, dankofal.com. And our show is out on TalkStream Live. Replays are available, talkstreamlive.com. And we appreciate that. And also iHeartRadio, too. Thank you all very much. My good friend Luis Del Monte is on with us, and he's kind of become my go-to guy on the concept of singularity, the merger of man and machine. But we talk about time travel. We talk about artificial intelligence. Luis is an author and CEO of Del Monte and Associates. For more than 30 years, he's been a leader in the development of microelectronics for both IBM and Honeywell. Pretty good resume. Before that, he formed a high-tech e-marketing agency and published Unraveling the Universe's Mysteries in 2012 and How to Time Travel. That's a handy little book to have in your back pocket. If you're carrying like a survival book in your back pocket and you have room for two, I would think the Army's first aid manuals is probably right there, but I would think How to Time Travel would be another book you might want to stick in your back pocket.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Just in case all you have to do time travel is like squeeze a grapefruit and an orange together, and all of a sudden you go to the 26th century, that would be kind of cool.
I really hope it's that easy.
Me too. Well, who knew how easy it would be to blow up the world with a nuclear bomb?
Well, that's true.
Who knew? You just had to slam two pieces of the same material together really fast.
Nobody saw that coming.
Nobody saw that. That's exactly right. Certainly not Nagasaki or Hiroshima, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely sure.
All right, we have Luis on the line. How are you, Luis, my friend?
Nice to be talking with you.
All right. We've got artificial intelligence, time travel, but also singularity on the agenda today. You know, I bring this up because I have been a very poor student, but a student of singularity for the concept for some time, and it's funny, whenever I bring it up to people here or my friends or my coworkers, they all get creeped out by it. They say, oh, it can never happen. And my very religious and spiritual friends take great offense as though I have just blasphemed God by saying that a machine could ever provide immortality for humans. And then we get into this whole discussion of what the soul is. And, you know, and that gets to be a big discussion. All I try to say is, mechanically, it looks like it's going to be possible for man to translate his brain into a machine and create what that man is going to think of as immortality. Am I off base, or do we think that's possible?
That's pretty much right on. And if you look at when that would be possible, and you look at a survey of researchers, including myself, saying when will that actually take place, you're looking at about 2040 to about 2050, in that time frame, so that you'll be essentially uploading humans to machines, the intellect of humans. Now, you know, I've been asked about the same question, well, what about the soul and the religious aspects and what have you? And my answer is, look, I'm just telling you what the technology is saying.
That's right.
You know, I'm not really qualified to talk about the religious and the ethical aspects of it. But this is what the technology is saying. And I wanted to share with you today, you know, first maybe we should, for some of you listeners that may not have heard the earlier discussions, we should define the singularity.
Yeah, please do.
What that is. It's a point in time when artificial intelligence will not only be equal to, but will actually exceed the cognitive intelligence of the entire human race. And that's widely forecasted by researchers in the field to occur between 2040 and 2045. So we're talking about 25 years out, we're going to have a machine that will be smarter than all the humans combined on the face of the Earth. And my first book, The Artificial Intelligence Revolution, asked the question, how will those machines look at us as a species? And probably conclude, which is the reality when you talk about Ferguson and you talk about our activities around the world today, that we're an unstable species. And we have enough weapons to wipe out the world twice over. You mentioned that earlier.
Right.
And that any accident along those lines could endanger those machines. So as they become more powerful, and if they become interconnected, it's natural to ask the question, how will they view us? And as you look at that and you go through it, I came to the conclusion that the scenario will be fairly dim regarding their view of us and them wanting to keep us around.
I mean, especially if when we do manage to merge men's mind and machines, if we have no concept or we're not able to merge a soul, then the machines are just going to say who's a threat and who's not. These people are viruses. They're a threat to me. They need to be eliminated. The weird part about this, Lewis, is the fact that this really is the combined scripts of Terminator and Matrix. And I was at the front of that list poo-pooing those things when they came out. But the brilliant authors of this that took a look into the future, and folks like you that take a look into the future, this is very real. This is not hype. And one last thing. This is why I want people to understand this, because if for the average listener to this show, they need to care, because the point of singularity is estimated to be 20 to 25 years from now, that you're probably still going to be alive in that time period. Your children are going to be alive in that time period. And if singularity occurs the way you think it will, then the machines are going to say, no, we're just going to get rid of everybody.
Yeah, and that's the threat, the existential threat. And I'm happy to say, I mean, in a sense, that following the publication of my book, and I'm not saying there's a causal relationship, but my book was out there first, that following that, you had heavyweight scientists like Stephen Hawking, Max Tegmark, heavyweight philosophers like Nick Bostrom, all come out with almost an identical message. And what it's saying is that, and there's been a number of Nobel laureates that have come out with the same message, and that what they're saying is, look, we've looked at the technology, and it's inherently dangerous. We're not treating it as though it were, for example, nuclear weapons. We're not treating it as though it were biological weapons.
Elon Musk just said that this whole concept is the existential threat to our world.
Yeah, and, you know, to that point, a lot of people came down on him about the killer robots, but what he said was right on.
Yeah.
I want to give you a quick news piece that came out October 13th. So we're talking last month,
sure.
2014. And it says, the Office of Naval Research has announced a technological breakthrough that allows unmanned surface vehicles to not only protect Navy ships, but also, for the first time, autonomously swarm offensively on hostile vessels. So now they have, and it's a wonderful article, they have what appear to be patrol boats that are totally unmanned with what appears to be a small deck on a cannon, and they probably have other armaments on it, and they actually will swarm around a hostile ship or other vessel. And the whole concept here, now this is totally unmanned. Now they're not being guided by humans. They're autonomous. And I think this is in response, if I were to make a judgment on this.
Right.
It's in response to the attack on the USS Cole. They found that a U.S. Navy destroyer is actually vulnerable to a small boat with a bomb.
Sure.
And so now the Navy is coming out with their own small boats that would protect these destroyers against that kind of attack. So when Elon Musk came out and said there are going to be killer robots, that's not in the future. These are killer robots.
Well, you've heard about Russia. Russia has deployed autonomous robots to their borders in the Arctic that have that are fully prepared to shoot and engage an enemy on their own without any control. And if Russia's using those now, can't we assume that countries like China and the United States have those same?
I think that would be a very conservative assumption.
You know, there was a great book a number of years back called Swarm, and it talked about the microbots being almost microscopic, and how they would swarm almost like a swarm of bees or wasps to a target and engulf that target. And that's available. I mean, that's happening right now. Microorganisms, micro flying machines that can do that. I don't have this discussion with you to scare people, but I want people to understand that when we talk about our time on this earth, it isn't necessarily driven by a nuclear attack, or it isn't necessarily driven by the Bible saying the world ends in 3 days. I don't care. I don't know what that is in particular. It's driven by the technology that's out there right now that says we can destroy ourselves in 20 years, and we're headed that way, and there's nobody trying to turn us away from that.
Yeah, I'm very concerned, even with all the books that have come out by truly heavyweight authors, that there is very little going on with regard to any legislation that says we need to control the path that we take with artificial intelligence. In fact, what's actually happening is that it's increasing exponentially, and we're literally embracing it as fast as it's becoming available.
And we're talking about handing over control of this to the United Nations, as though the United Nations were some august body that had this ability to see into the future and make the right decisions. Holy crap! Give me and my little city and my little county control over it. We'll give you a better answer than the United Nations are going to give you.
Well, you know, here's an interesting, and I wanted to give one or two real insights on your show. I'm getting ready for my next book, which is coming out. I'm discussing it with Simon and Schuster. But basically, it's going to be on the social and economic as well as the existential impacts of artificial intelligence. My first book really dealt with the existential impact, that it could destroy humanity. But many of your listeners are going to be affected in the next 10 years by artificial intelligence. Now, last time we talked, which is the early part of October,
right,
Gartner had just come out with a report that said that about one-third of U.S. jobs will be done by a computer or robot by 2025. That says in 10 years, a third of the jobs will be displaced by either a computer or a robot. A year earlier, 2013, Oxford University did a study, and they came out with a report. And this, your readers could read this on the Internet. The future of employment, how susceptible are jobs to computerization?
Right.
And they came out with an estimate that almost half, 47%, of the total U.S. employment is at risk within a decade or two.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And here are, you know, if anybody is doubting that this is happening, all you have to do is look at what the Bureau of Labor is coming out with in terms of statistics.
Right.
If you looked at from 1940 to the year 2000, every decade saw an increase in employment and an increase in the net worth of households. However, if you look from 2000 to 2010, okay, that decade,
right,
unemployment was flat. It was zero. There was zero job growth in that decade.
That's correct.
And if you look at the net worth of households, for the first time in history, it went down 4%, not up.
That's right.
And so people say, well, give me an example, you know. If you were a travel agent in 1990, now we're talking the beginning of computers just making its way into the workplace, and we're really talking about no true internet. There was an internet, but it was used mainly by academia and maybe the military, and the number of users in that time frame was small, around 10 to 20,000. If you were a travel, there were 132,000 travel agents in 1990. By the year 2000, it was almost the same.
Yep.
Now remember now that the internet started in 1995, the true internet, with Netscape and browsers that the average person could use.
Sure.
And so it started in 1995, and by the year 2000, the travel agent employment went from 132,000 to 124,000. Not too big a change. Now here's a real kicker. By the year 2013, the number of travel agents was cut in half.
And there are automated travel agents out there right now.
That's right.
I'm running a little short on time. Let me try to bring some closure to this and tell people, poor Kevin, he didn't even understand why this singularity is so vicious. This is, I laugh, I can see his eyes. He's our producer, and he's just all wide-eyed.
This is terrifying to me.
Well, here's what's terrifying. If, and I believe these numbers, if by 2025, what you just said, Lewis, that 30% of jobs will be gone in America, that destroys every financial projection that this country has. And they have very few to begin with. Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare all rely upon consistent employment, increasing wages, and more people working in the workforce. The very technology that we have that we know is here will bring a society to the collapse, not in 2040 or 2045, but in 10 years, 2025.
It's what I would call a real and imminent danger. And we're not, and unfortunately, our government officials, for the most part, are not aware of it. They're actually talking about, well, what are we going to do when baby boomers are retiring?
Oh, yeah.
And so on. And so maybe we should bring in more, you know, allow more people to enter the United States and so on. Actually, the real threat is that we are losing jobs to smart machines faster than we're creating new jobs.
Yeah, and cheap labor from Amnesty won't fix that problem.
That's exactly it. And I thought that should be shared with your readers because that's truly something that will touch many of them. And there's no job, somebody may be listening that's a surgeon, and he'll say, my job is safe. And I can tell you now that there are surgical robots. They're being controlled by doctors right now. But just like the boats that are autonomous, those robots will be autonomous by 2025.
And Lewis, they're coming. They're here. There's nothing that can be done short of a worldwide agreement to limit it. The world is never going to come to an agreement. I don't want world government to come to an agreement. I want people to say this isn't right. And God bless folks like you and Elon Musk and other people who are prominent out there who are saying we must, first of all, recognize there's a problem. And, you know, my God, Americans are so slow to recognize there's a problem right now. If they don't see it today, they just don't see it. And hopefully conversations like ours bring some awareness to it. And Lewis, I appreciate it very much. Lewis Del Monte.
My pleasure, and I hope, as you do, that our conversations do make a difference.
Well, you send it out, my friend, and I'll do my best and get it out, and we'll get you back on as soon as things change, which could be a week or two from now. LewisDelMonte.com is the website. And I encourage you to go out there and learn more about it. And God bless, Lewis. We'll get you back on ASAP.
Thank you. Nice talking with you.
Nice to talk to you, too, my friend. Kevin, we're running late. Let's take a quick break and come right back.